How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So in an interview with Vanity Fair, Lane Kiffin talked about the differences between being in his new home and his old one. He is the new coach of the LSU Tigers. He, of course, used to coach at Ole Miss, and he spoke on how recruiting is different at LSU compared to Ole Miss. And one of the things that caught people's attention is he said that LSU is a more diverse place. And the parents and grandparents of recruits noticed that. It is different at Ole Miss. He talked about narratives and things that happen on Ole Miss's campus that you have to fight against if you are the coach there. We all know about, well, the name itself, Ole Miss, steeped in the Confederacy. The Colonel Reb, which they have for a time now gotten rid of, and they still... Well, there was a time very recently where Confederate flags were flying on campus. So if you are a college coach recruiting kids from out of state, that is something you have to get past. There's been pushback from media voices, even telling African-American kids, hey, why would you go to a school like that, considering their history and even their present? Ole Miss still gets kids to go there. Whether it be in-state kids or out-of-state kids. It just so happens to be part of the calculations you have to do, and is what Pete Golding will have to deal with now as he takes over for for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. Of course, the minute Lane Kiffin speaks about his old school in any disparaging way, at least in their eyes, there will be immediate pushback from them because they already didn't like how he left. And that is just part of college football. It's not even strictly an SEC thing. If you leave us, even if you have legitimate reasons, you're a bad person. And any time you open your mouth and mention our names, we will have something for you. Of course, if you go through the history of the SEC, you're going to find moments that the member schools aren't proud of. I mean, Florida back in the 60s, when they were playing an integrated Penn State team, and they were not, developed a helmet where a Confederate flag was on the side of it as a means to, I guess, intimidate the Penn State team because they had black players on it. LSU a long time ago, no one thinks about it now, but at a time, the name Tigers was not about Mike the Tiger. It was about a volunteer group in the Confederacy. They were named the Louisiana Tigers, and that's where the name came from. So, You can dig deep into any SEC program and maybe even beyond SEC programs and find something you're not going to like. And Lane Kiffin stirred up a hornet's nest, and he has since already started walking stuff back because it's not the smoke he wanted. No one really wants it. even Lane Kiffin. And he says, I really apologize if anybody at Ole Miss or in Mississippi was offended by that. In a four-hour interview, I was asked a lot of questions on a lot of things, and Ole Miss has been wonderful to me and to my family. I was asked questions about the differences in recruiting, and I said a narrative that we battled there from some out-of-state black parents and grandparents was not wanting their kid to move to Mississippi. That's a narrative that coaches have been fighting forever. It wasn't calculated by bringing it up. Does the last sentence ring true for you, Sean, that it wasn't calculated in bringing it up?
If it's not Lane Kiffin, I can buy that it is just like, no, I, you know, when you get it out of context versus what he said is true. Like, whatever he said is true.
It's not incorrect.
It's not incorrect. Like, I imagine at some point he recruited a black player and his family or even the player himself was like, I don't know about Ole Miss. Like, that seems true.
Yeah, here's one of the quotes.
Hey, the fact it's Lane Kiffin makes me think.
Here's one of the things he relayed. Hey, coach, we really like you, but my grandparents aren't letting me move to Oxford, Mississippi. That doesn't come up when you say Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Parents were sitting here this weekend and saying the campus diversity feels so great. It feels like there's no segregation. Being someone who has not matriculated at either school, I can't speak to the segregation he does not see, or he's saying the parents don't see at LSU compared to what they see at Ole Miss. And segregation, sure, that word's a big word, but that could just simply mean, hey, the black students want to hang out with black kids, or their fellow black students. White kids seem to hang out with white students.
Yeah.
It may not be steeped in racism. It may be steeped in being with people like myself or themselves. So I've never been to either school, though.
In Baton Rouge, you also have Southern University.
Yes.
There. So that's
look,
like a
even
little
at Florida State.
Yeah. Yeah,
Florida State has FAMU in the same city. It has been known that when you bring a recruit to Florida State, you take them to a FAMU party. Because generally, yeah, the recruits that wind up in Tallahassee for a weekend are African-American kids. And it is a historically black college, FAMU. And they take them there for parties because the parties are better there. It's just how it is. That's the non-talked about stuff from recruiting. I would agree. If it isn't Lane Kiffin, it doesn't bring the type of attention because of where he came from and because he is who he is.
Yeah, it's that, whatever, 6 months ago, he went from Ole Miss to LSU.
And it feels like just him piling on,
yeah,
because they will recruit against each other. They are rivals. It'll just be a thing. And he just added some more kindling.
But it's not something that's like unhurt, you know. It's not like
even people who are having the back and forth online are going, yeah, schools have these issues from the past, but even people are like, Ole Miss is different though. They're like, Ole Miss,
yeah,
is different from even the rest of us, and we can acknowledge some of our past indiscretions. Ole Miss is on a different level, even in some ways currently. And while this isn't today, let's hear from some players who played in the SEC who are also former NFL players. Brandon Bolden, you may remember that name. He played at Ole Miss, and he played at Ole Miss, and he was also like a Patriot. He played a number of places. You're going to hear from King Dunlap as well in the mix. He's a former NFL player, offensive lineman. He played for the Chargers. He played in the SEC, and I think JC Mills is you might hear from as well. King Dunlap played at Auburn. So these are guys who, SEC players, and you're going to hear Brandon Bolden first, and he is the most open about what Ole Miss is like. Here it is.
I'll say this, playing at Ole Miss is one of the most racist places to play. Oh, you want to go there?
We getting ready to play LSU. So we got this thing called Campus Walk, where they let us off the bus, we walk through the fans, yeah, shake hands, yeah, and all this stuff. It's real loud. It's a good time. We getting off the bus. Nobody right there.
Damn.
We look over to the right. They having a whole thing going on. People yelling, cussing, stuff being thrown.
Oh, shit.
We can't see. So we's like, all right, let's go walk over there and see. The KKK came to the school.
Oh, God.
Damn.
It wasn't just like the traditional white robe. I saw the black robe, the red robe.
Oh, they brought the OGs.
They was there.
They brought
the National Guard to get the students, because the students was, because they drunk. They throwing anything they get their hands on. That was all because
just looks so goofy to me.
A parent was upset. One of the Dixie songs was being played during the game. She said something, and then that hit the internet. And then, well, little did y'all know, it's a Confederate flag flying in the middle of campus. I had to go see for myself. When you go to the flagpole, you can see the flagpole, but the trees stop it. So you can't see what's at the top. I always assumed it was the American flag until that story came out and you go, look,
it's the Confederate flag.
The Confederate flag up there this whole time. I've been there for 3 years at this point. I had never seen
it. Bro, that's crazy.
So Jalen Collins, I said Mills, was another LSU player. Jalen Collins was one of the players there. King Dunlap and Brandon Bolden relayed the story about playing at Ole Miss. He's from Baton Rouge, but he played at Ole Miss and talked about the Confederate flag and the Klan there. Now, the flag no longer flies. They decided, hey, that's not a great idea. We're not going to prominently display the Confederate flag in the middle of our campus. But as a player there, if you played back before 2015, you would have seen it. And he told his story there. This is all because Lane Kiffin is being Lane Kiffin. A little bit. Like, just a little
Ole
bit
Miss
because
just going about it today.
Yeah. Hey.
It's been a while since people talked about them.
Yeah. Look, it's part of their history. It's not something they're really going to get away from. And you would imagine it's not something they want to be. They don't want it highlighted anymore. They're thinking, hey, we got rid of Colonel Reb. We got rid of the flag. We tried that shark thing as our mascot. God. We were once like the Bears. Weren't they like the? Is that still their mascot? I think they had, at one point, they did have a
plush bear, or I don't know,
felt bear mascot rolling around. They have tried.
They had a shark, too. They had,
at one point, they might have had them all three. They're phasing out Colonel Reb. The black bear was there. The shark was there to honor the football team's defense. But the black bear, at one point, was named Rebel the Black Bear. It was an official on-field mascot from 2010 to 2017.
Oh.
So while they got rid of Colonel Reb, the students voted for the Black Bear, but still wanted to call it Rebel, the Black Bear. So old habits die hard.
I think you could just blanket old habits die hard, LSU or Ole Miss football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were, they're the last team to integrate, then basically made them a bad football program for the 30 years after that. Not great.
Took them a while.
Took them a while. That's basically they were competitive in the SEC until that point, and then they really dug themselves a hole.
Real line of demarcation.
Really dug themselves a hole that was hard to get out of. But
and they had their most successful seasons with the guy they now hate with all their hearts.
Yeah, I think Lane Kiffin had the first, I don't know if he had the first 10-win season. He definitely had the first back-to-back 10-win season.
Yeah, I think he was the first one to double up on those. Yeah. Hugh Freeze had a run for a year.
That's
with
right.
Bo Wallace, maybe. Or was there? There might have been. There's a Chad Kelly in there as well, but Bo Wallace
beat,
was the
Alabama.
Yeah, when the ball bounced up in the air and all that stuff. But Hugh Freeze, as I look at him, he had the 1-10-3 year, and then dropped the 5-7. So not a lot of success at Ole Miss until Lane Kiffin won there consistently. Now he's their problem at LSU.
Yeah.
And
now he's speaking truth to power.
That's when I think of Lane Kiffin, I think of that. Spring football is over. They're like, hey, with no spring window anymore, we're just getting ready for fall camp. Hope everyone stays healthy. The conditioning program's going fine at Ole Miss, I imagine. Pete Golden's trying to get ready for his first full year. Ole Miss fans are like, you know what? Trinidad's back. We got that judge to help us out. We're good to go.
There's a long article about about Trinidad. Like, there's a long piece about him, highlighting him, And it's like, oh, there's sir, there's also a Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
There's also a Lane Kiffin profile.
And this is more like a fan on fan thing. I don't think the Ole Miss program will really have much to say. But they're like,
I'm sure AD is like, oh, God, I got to deal with this.
Yeah.
Pete Golding's like, I'm definitely getting asked about this next time I'm in front of a microphone.
Yeah, next time he's available to the media, he'll have to ask about recruiting at Ole Miss and
ruin
the past and all the things.
Ruin the whatever charity golf tournament I'm sure I have lined up next week.
Or some booster event he has to go to, riling up everyone to get more NIL money.
Oh, man. I was going to have to go to Biloxi. Now I get to deal with this.
I don't know anything about Biloxi, but maybe I'd rather deal with this. Who knows? He's got Kiwon Lacy. He
Yeah, he has Chambliss and Lacy.
And he kept Lane from taking both those guys, so that's a good start, even with Lane Kiffin popping off in Vanity Fair of all places. Like, it's not even like a traditional SEC or Southern Magazine. Like, it's Vanity Fair.
Or even like USA Today.
Yeah, Vanity Fair. What are we doing? Shouldn't you be talking about other things than us? But there it is. It's the SEC is having a bit of a civil war.
Oh no! Don't do that. It's a racism measuring contest.
They are. Hey, we had our problems, but not as bad as you are. Yeah. Did you see what Florida did to Penn State back in the day?
Yeah,
it's all of that.
What about those statues? Huh?
Oh, speaking of that, Louisiana. Appropriate timing while Lane Kiffin talks about Ole Miss's problems and Vanity Fair and how diverse LSU is. There is a movement in Louisiana to display all those old Confederate statues in like a park. All the ones they took down, they like to bring them back and put them in a park for everyone to see. So, like I said, old habits.
What are you going to do? I mean, you know, charge it to the game.
I mean, Louisiana could remove Confederate monuments on display at state parks, not just a park, state parks. Let me clear that up for myself and everyone else. So, whoo, there it is. Hey, welcome to the conference, Texas.
I mean, when I was there, Texas had a Jefferson Davis statue.
And you still have that tune, or you still have your fight song to the tune of Working on the Railroad.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
started a mini controversy. It didn't last very long.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most of that was Tom Herman being like, being on the side of like, you know, if they don't want to sing it, they don't want to sing it. And then he got fired, and then Steve Sarkisian was like,
we're singing this song.
as the like, my first act in office.
Don't worry.
Don't hate me, Red McCombs. We're singing.
We're singing this damn song, and they all will.
Debuted as in a minstrel show. And
yes.
It refers to the Eyes of the South are upon you, a Confederate little ditty.
Yeah, led to a controversy that it lasted for, you know, you got a coach in a hot seat, so any hot button issue is going to become a problem for him. He didn't outlast it. Somehow, some way, Steve Sarkisian is winning, and
that's all.
Controversies
that's all that really
don't really surround him currently.
They're really stopping at things.
Yeah, it's not a thing.
Once they made the playoffs.
You make the playoff,
it's just
guys are
no
happy.
One talks about
guys
it.
Are happy to stand there and sing the song, and if they're not, who cares? Because you're making playoffs and winning games. And I saw Alicia reported that Texas, the most expensive roster in football.
I mean, makes sense.
What, 50 mil is what the number is. I don't know if that's real or not, but the number is out there at like $50 million.
A lot of Warby Parker and Viore money from March.
And I'm sure he'll be a brand ambassador for the new NCAA game too, like he was in 26.
I'm sure they'll... Dr. Pepper once in.
Yeah. The prohibitive favorite to win the Heisman Trophy and maybe be the number one overall pick. I asked Lance about that this morning. He goes, NFL teams aren't as locked in on him being number one as the media is. They'd like to see more. And that makes sense. All right, we'll go to break with that. Sean and his complicated conference that he's in. None of that's happening in the ACC.
Yeah,
no racism in the ACC in North Carolina, Virginia.
It's not like the Big 12 is the Black Panther Party. Right?
I mean, you may have to, if the Pac-12 in its former form existed, that may be the safest place.
Maybe. I don't want to, you know.
And that's if you don't ask like the Hispanic community in California.
Yeah, or look at the Stanford Wikipedia page.
They cleaned that up. They're going to let you guys rip them to shreds for something that happened 100 years ago. The SEC does that. Pac-12, more solidified when it was still a conference. All right. Done with that. We'll come back with more. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we've got weeks as far as the NFL schedule. The official schedule release for each team will be on Thursday. But we do know opponents. While we don't know when these games will be played, the tabulation for toughest strength of schedule is out. And the Texans, despite finishing second in their division, as it stands now, have the seventh easiest schedule in all of football. That's not bad.
I'll take that.
Take it. The Browns have the easiest schedule. Makes sense. They were one of the worst teams of football.
Yeah.
But it always depends on the opponents you're going to play, as far as not just your own division, but what division in your conference you're going to play and what division in the other conference you're going to play. And it just winds up that the Texans have a soft schedule for being a playoff team and making and winning double digit games and being certainly a team with better quarterback play could have made a Super Bowl. The schedule lines up for them to at least be a double-digit winner again.
Yeah, it looks like they're playing the AFC North,
which wasn't a great division last year,
and the NFC East.
Okay, the Cowboys, good offense.
Giants.
We'll see if their defense with the full year of Quinnen Williams and they drafted Caleb Downs, if they get it going. But it's manageable. We don't think as soon as that A.J. Brown trade happens, we don't believe the Eagles will be as good as they have been. There's a lot of conversations about them going forward. Sirianni, John Lancer talking about it. Sirianni was voted by just a couple of media members that came together to rank the coaches. He was like 18th. They have Schottenheimer ahead of him. Not Marty. Brian. Brian's accomplished kind of nothing.
It'd be disrespectful if they had Marty Schottenheimer above.
Well, Marty never won a Super Bowl, and he's no longer alive. Yes, those are reasons why not to put Sirianni behind him. Also, why are you putting a son ahead of him? Why are you putting Sirianni behind Brian Schottenheimer?
I mean, Schottenheimer, year one, had an awesome offense.
Great.
They're both offensive-minded head coaches. Sirianni.
And one of them's allowed to call plays, the other isn't?
Nick Sirianni gets his OC fired every other year, so...
This year means they're going to have a great year and make a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes.
That is how it goes. We'll see. Yeah, I do appreciate that Sirianni doesn't get the well, he did win a Super Bowl, so he must be a great coach.
Yeah, I do appreciate some nuance and people actually investigating that. How much influence does he actually have on that team when he doesn't call plays? In fact, they want him less involved than and they've taken the hiring away from him on occasion, particularly when he screws up on the previous hire.
Yeah, and it's like, so he's not a, play-calling head coach. That's fine. There's plenty of those. So he must have, run a really tight ship and have, no locker room distractions. No, you also get that, too. So he represents the franchise really well? No, not really.
There have been moments when he's not done
he's
that
kind
well.
Kind of a clown. Oh, all right, so...
So it was Ollie Connolly, Greg Rosenthal, Jordan Rodriguez. So those three got together, part of NFL Daily 32, and ranked the coaches. And D'Amico did fine. He's well thought of. Let me pull that up. But
I'm thinking top 12.
I'll have that for you.
Okay, I'll put the if he's outside the top 12, disrespectful.
You were riding.
It's disrespectful. If they have Brian Schottenheimer above him, all right, then we got some problems.
Where would he land? If you consider how important we believe he is to what the Texans do, he no longer calls the plays on defense anymore. He's handed that over to Matt Burke, but we would assume his fingerprints are all over.
Yeah, it's at least the framework. I mean, you go like McShay, Shanahan, Reed. There's a lot of easy ones. I mean, McDonald's probably ahead of him now. Say what you want about him, Vrabel, great coach. I know it's been a while since that's what we focused on.
Since we've talked about him as actual coach.
Yeah, with Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel's a good coach. Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, maybe John Harbaugh. So, probably in the 10, 11, 12 range.
For some reason, I can't find it. I'll find it a little bit here, but I can't find the article. I can only find, the podcast is here.
Let's just play the podcast. Well, call it a day.
I mean, it would be a way to do less today.
2x speed. Just keep it moving.
Yeah, I don't, I don't know that we have the rights to that. DeMeco Ryans, he's not in the top 10.
What?
From what? Yeah, Sean McVay's one, Andy Reid's two, McDonald three, Shanahan, Ben Johnson. He is not in the bottom 10, but he's behind McCarthy. And see, I'll find it.
Where they rank McCarthy.
I can't. This can't be true. I'll find it. But either way, they have those ranking outs, and they're subjective. It doesn't really mean that much, but it is interesting to see how the national media and their opinions line up with how we feel about our guy, who's one of the more important figures. I think as far as setting the tone for a franchise, he's got to be at the top of the list, if that's even a different category. Yeah. You just look at how this team responds and how they play defensively and what they want to be offensively. That all stems from DeMeco Ryans' influence.
Oh, it looks like Greg Rosenthal tweeted out the full graphic.
Okay. That's an easier way of going about it.
McVay, Reed, McDonald, Shanahan, Ben Johnson, Jim Harbaugh, Dan Campbell at 7, 8, Sean Payton, 9, Matt LaFleur.
He's 10. Coach. DeMeco's 10.
DeMeco, 10.
Kevin you have O'Connell, any Vrabel. Issues with where he ranks compared to the guys ahead of him?
No. I mean, if you want to do like Ben Johnson, you know, prove it to me again. Do it again.
Yeah. That Bears team last year, very fortunate the way things went for them.
If you really want to get into like we all love Dan Campbell.
It's been a couple years.
But like, are the results? They made an NFC title game. That's like the one difference in the results there, you know.
But then, that was now not several, but a couple years ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
That was in 2023, 2024. They lost at home and in the divisional rounds to the Commanders and did not make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but then, you know, if I have DeMeco above Campbell, but I also have Vrabel above DeMeco, so.
Yeah, I mean.
So 10, that's why.
He's right in the mix.
10 to 12 is like. Because there is a resume element of it that I'm not going to sit here and be like, he's a better coach than Andy Reid. Like, I get it. I get it.
Or Sean McVay.
And they've played, the last 3 years. And I think they've won. The Chiefs have beat them every single time. No, the Texans won last year. When the worst Chiefs team.
And it was only run. Not only because, but because Andy Reid made an awful decision to go for it inside his own territory. Well, you know which what? Is... Another Maybe, thing that goes into Miko's favor.
Yeah. Again, this is probably like why Reed, I wouldn't have him too. I'd have Shanahan above him, but, you know, I'd still, him being above DeMeco is acceptable. Jeffrey Minter at 15? All right.
That's a little early.
Let's see him coach. Like, I get it, but let's see him coach.
Like, yeah, he is one of several first year coaches, but why is he 15 and Joe Brady's 27 and Jeff Hafley's 30?
Yeah, they should do it like,
Michael Flores, 31.
Like Mike Sando does the quarterback rankings where he just puts all the first-time starters at the end of just like, we'll see. Like,
yeah, what do we know about Jesse Minter? Why is he ranking ahead of the Harbaugh he replaced?
Yeah, that is and then like Todd Monken is 26. Mike LaFleur is 31. Like it
doesn't really make a lot of sense why he's that high.
I mean, I guess it is just, it looks like a draft, so it is some... It's not like one cohesive list. It is a bunch of people making their own decision.
Yeah, once a person picks one, you have to go to the next available.
I don't know. If I'm Dan Quinn, I'm like, what has Jesse Minter done?
What do you want? I mean, exactly. If Dan Quinn is even.
Todd Bowles got disrespected. He's behind Shane Steichen.
He's won a division.
Yeah.
What are we doing? He's made the playoffs. But, as you said, it's three people, and they have to pick from the available once another person makes the pick. And there it is. DeMeco lands at 10, which is respectable. Right. And certainly he goes and wins a divisional round game and makes an AFC title game. That can change. And really, that's the goal. Beyond, what three random media members think. He's fully capable of getting this team to where they want to go. Yeah. The question is, have they built a roster that's ready to do that? And I think they have.
Only three AFC coaches ahead of them. That's how you look at it.
There it is.
It's the fourth best coach in the AFC, according to these three people.
And so that means you got a real chance to have a championship level head coach, and he very well can't be that.
And one of the coaches ahead of him has Justin Herbert as their quarterback. So whatever.
You know, my feelings on Herbert.
There's four picks that they need in the AFC title game.
Well, D'Amico's dominated Herbert in games that matter. So not worried about that at all. All right, we'll go to a break with that. You want to join us, 713-780-3776. We'll get back to the NBA playoffs. We got one game tonight. The inevitable happened. I think we talked about it yesterday because the news came down, but Wimby is available. So it'll be Wolves and Spurs tonight in San Antonio, pivotal game five. And we'll get more into the Lakers getting closed out and the Cavs beating the Pistons and evening that series. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
We'll get to some NBA here, but this is something I missed when we were talking about the NFL in our last segment. Mike Clay of ESPN, after talking to people who watch offensive line play and chart it, has the offensive line's projected starters for this upcoming season ranked. You want to guess, Sean, after all the Texans' hard work, where he, according to the people he talked to and all these other metrics that I will explain, where he has them ranked? When you have each individual player graded and combined and average, score,
yeah.
Where do you think they're ranked?
I'll go 20th.
Lower.
24th.
Lower.
Oh, my God. 28th?
The worst offensive line in football.
What?
He has the combination of Arontae Ursary, Kalen Rutledge. He has Jake Andrews starting, so that might be an issue. He didn't even have Wyatt Teller starting, so this ranking can be called into question. But he has Ursary, Rutledge at guard, Andrews at center, Ed Ingram, and then Brayden Smith as your worst offensive line in football. Okay, you don't even have Wyatt Teller starting. We can already start to question what you're doing.
Bump him up.
But the player rating is determined by analyzing a variety of stats, including pass and run block win rates, PFF grade, utilization, pedigree. I don't know if that means other than what we think of this player and their past success, I guess. It's a spectrum, he says. And then he talks about how it's color-coded, whatever. And he goes, tackles and their performance weighs heavier than interior linemen. But all those additions, worst in football.
Mike Clay, not impressed.
Not, well, the people he talked to. He puts it on the people he talked to. He's not saying he's an expert.
Oh.
It's the people he talked to who don't believe much in the Texans offensive line. I don't know where Wyatt Teller. I guess they just think Wyatt Teller's not winning that job despite the money they paid him, so that seems incongruous with what's actually going to happen. But, I didn't see that. I didn't see anyone thinking they're the worst offensive line in football.
Yeah.
Because even if you add Wyatt Teller, who wasn't great last year at the Browns, he was injured, and let's say average as a player, that wouldn't bump them up very much.
Yeah, I thought they've worked themselves up to
like we're
slightly
hoping mid-tier,
below average.
Right?
Yeah.
We're thinking 17, 18, that might be enough.
Mid?
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking for mid.
Mid, but
he's going washed.
That can run through your face.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe they're not great pass blockers.
Mid with an identity.
But they're going to be strong run blockers.
Yeah.
I didn't see 32.
Yeah.
I'm a pessimist. I'm a contrarian. Even I didn't see 32 from anyone.
Were they 32 like 2 years ago when they were?
They've been widely considered one of the worst offensive lines of football in 2024.
Yeah.
2025 didn't help.
It's just hard being.
It helped. They were a little 32. Better, but not great last year.
Yeah. It's just hard being last.
Yeah. Hearing you're last, like all the assets, all the money spent, and you can't rise above the worst offensive line in football.
Like the Cardinals have a better offensive line than the Texans.
The
Browns, the Vikings, where half our guys come from.
Cincinnati is 31st. Okay. They're the next team.
That you know these. It's not really the eye test because I'm not watching it, but like that passed the eye test. I mean, you know, like there's
Joe Burrow running for his life.
Yeah, if there's like the bottom 10, it's like I feel like I could probably get a lot of the bottom 10. But just, I didn't think the Texans would be the last. You know, I'm not. I didn't guess above average. I guessed 20, and I'm shocked.
So if you go by the numbers as far as best tackles, like Garrett Bowles has an 8.7. From what I can tell, that's the highest ranked tackle according to these ratings in football.
Wow.
The Texans have Ursary, this group of people who Mike Clay talked to, 4.5 at Ursary, Brain Smith a 5.4. So that's a far cry from being good or great, and the interior players aren't much better. So there it is. Cool. We'll see who's right on that one. Because the assumption from everyone
stay on that side, Mike Clay.
Yeah, when things turn and all of a sudden the Texans are running through people's faces.
Yeah,
we'll see what you say.
When PFF has them ranked 22nd.
Yeah, what's
remember you had them 10 spots.
What's
lower.
Enough of a rise above 32 before we can talk to Mike Clay in a disrespectful way?
Mentally, with all the like team rankings things, I think bottom four is like atrocious, and it's all kind of the same. Like, if you're 29th, you're basically the worst in the league.
Sure.
I think once you get to like 24, it's like, okay, you're just like normal bad. You're like normal. This isn't great.
He has the Texans offline as a disaster.
Yeah.
And we don't see a disaster.
No, there's college lines that are better than 32. Come on.
Man, Miami's line from last year.
Yeah.
Got multiple.
Where's Maonogo? How's he rank on this?
Is he better than
all the Texans?
Where is the new New York Giant ranked? As a guard, he's a 5.0.
So he'd be the best tackle.
Braden Smith would be better.
Oh, by nose, right? He's 5-something.
According to these people, Maonoa is a better player than two of the Texans' additions and tied with their own rookie guard in Rutledge because he hasn't played guard as a 5.0. Although we think Rutledge is going to play center because Wyatt Teller is going to start it.
Yeah, guard. Although, you know, if I'm the Mike Clay expert, council of experts,
sure,
I'm like, sweet, this guy that we don't think is that good playing a position he's never played, downgrade. You're 33rd now. Never mind. We put Ohio State ahead of you. Sorry.
Yeah, he looks at what teams did in the portal to add to their O-line and picks one and goes, they're the best.
You know, Lane Kiffin kind of rebuilt this line.
Yeah, Jordan Seaton should be good, right? There it is. That was surprising. Mike Clay, disrespectful. We'll see. We got time, like 17 weeks to see who's right and who's wrong on this during the season.
Oh, I thought you meant 17 weeks until football season.
No, God. I don't think
it's put it like that.
I don't think it's that.
Yeah,
it's
like 12 or something.
Yeah, I think 17 weeks of...
No, it's like 15.
Actual NFL games, then we'll be the judge. Not all these anonymous experts that we've never heard of.
Yeah.
I've talked to people who chart games. Sure. Some other nerd at ESPN, Ben Solak's the one you went to.
Yeah. You know what? I don't like what this says about my favorite team, so what does PFF know?
Well, he did put that into one of his responses. Yes, I know. Everyone is lower than they should be.
Yeah.
Understood.
You don't know the assignments.
Yeah. Got it. He was ready for it, and he rightfully should, because he's been wrong on the Texans. Can't even get their starting lineup right. How can we trust this thing? All right, so that's a dissenting opinion. We don't really believe it. We don't think they'll be the worst in football, because if they are, pack Nick Casario up right now. All that effort, the picks, the money, and you wind up with the worst offensive line in football. I don't know if he's gotten an extension yet. But let's hold off. Mike Clay's got a different opinion.
Yeah. You can take Popovich with them. Take Kaylee, too. Yeah, all the New England guys.
All of them out of here. We'll keep D'Amico and we keep moving. All right. We'll go to break with that. We'll talk some NBA when we come back.
This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Through his crack research, Sean has found out that the Spurs won't be handing out t-shirts tonight. They're going to hand out towels to the people in attendance for Game 5. Big game. Series tied at 2. Both teams earned a split at the opponent's crib. Now Now it's time for the Spurs, who will have Wemby available. Can they go up 3-2? They don't want to go back to Minnesota down 2-3 in a series, obviously. So that's tonight. It's your one game, thanks to the Knicks taking the Sixers out. So as we get closer, we're almost there. We're one game a night. Yeah. We go from, man, what a night of, or what a day of NBA basketball to, well, there's one. Yeah. One series to pay attention to each night, and we still have at least a couple games to go in this series, and certainly in the Cavs Pistons series, which very well feels like, very, at least for me, it feels like it's going to go seven.
Yeah. I mean, but it's been all home team so far.
So the series hasn't started yet.
Yes, the series hasn't started yet, but also, yeah, I don't know, until someone breaks serve, it is hard to believe that one team's going to, you know, run away with it or just win the next two games. You know,
yeah,
just
to see a team win a game on the Cavs case on the road and come back and win at home.
Yeah.
This one inevitably feels like it's just going to go seven, and we'll see whether the Cavs, who certainly have the experience advantage as far as being together outside of James, but the rest of that core has been together at least for now two seasons and longer than that in some cases, or can the Pistons, who don't have a lot of playoff wins under them, at least together, can they push to a conference final? So,
Jalen Duren.
He is, ooh.
Have some pride.
Playoff dropper, Jalen Duren.
Someone was like, because I think he made All-NBA this year. So he qualifies for the Supermax. And like, has anyone ever qualified themselves for the Supermax in the regular season and then disqualified themselves for the Supermax in the same postseason? Because it's like, you know, if he was able, you're not allowed to do this, but to sign the contract between the last day of the regular season and the first round, he would have gotten, if not a Supermax, like pretty darn close. And now it's like
So thankfully for the Pistons, he only made the All-Star team.
Okay.
So they don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
Whatever he's pushing for may be too much anyway.
Yeah. Not loving the regular max.
Yeah. I think he's only broken 15 points once in these playoffs. Look, he's played against a lot of big dudes. The Magic are a giant team inside. The Cavs are, but who cares? You got to be better than what you are.
It's Wendell Carter and Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
and there's Evan. Well, I'm just saying they are big teams. So he does not have the same advantages he normally has, but even still.
Yeah.
You got to be better than what you've been.
If you're only good because you have a massive advantage,
then are you really good?
Are you really that good? Like, I imagine Wimby walking through the door and Jalen Duren having to deal with that.
But like, can the Pistons really
Wendell
not?
Wendell Carter is shutting you down? All right.
But can the Pistons really not give him the max? I mean, they don't. I mean, we know Rafael Stone would negotiate, but
I think they can negotiate. Like, what? Does he get, like, Şengün money?
He probably gets more.
Okay.
Probably gets in the 200 range.
Okay. I don't know that they should,
considering what he's been in these playoffs. But they're going to go, hey, 22 years old, there's more to give.
Yeah.
They'll give him.
Hey, I just thought that would be a comp.
Like, if you're Jalen Duren, and while you're not the type of player that Paolo or Franz are, you're like, if you're giving these guys money.
Yeah, they got no doubt about it, Max.
Yeah, what are we doing? I'm not even asking. You don't even have to give me that, but let me get me into the 200 range if we're going to look at those guys and see what they got.
Yeah.
So
and if I was the GM, I'd be like, well, they played way better than you.
Who won the series, sir? Who won the series?
Cade Cunningham
and Tobias Harris, of all people. Well, we're in a position where we're going to give him more money than we thought we ever would.
Give him
not you.
Money.
We're going to give him your money.
Yeah.
Considering how things
are. We can get Andre Drummond back in here. Get the same
that,
hoops.
That's too much. You've gone too far.
Yeah, he's drilling threes.
He's younger, though. Duren is younger.
He is.
So that is the advantage he has. Tobias Harris has gone from Tobias Harris over me
to
remember those Jimmy Butler quotes to a guy who the Pistons wouldn't be where they are without him. And he is a free agent this year. So it's a good time for Tobias Harris to show his worth in these playoffs.
Sit out. Don't cost yourself any money. don't even chance of a 1-for-10 Game 7.
He went 6 or 17 last night, so
okay,
he's working his way there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, James Harden has responded with a couple of good performances. Didn't shoot the ball well yesterday, but got to the free throw line, which he can do, and made 5 of 9 from 3-point range. So he and Donovan Mitchell combined to help the Cavs win that one. So we'll see Game 5 in Detroit. Game 5 tonight. Can the Wolves, because that was the discussion while we were doing the conspiracy theory thing on the morning show about, well, the NBA, of course, is going to let Wimby play because they want the Spurs to play the Thunder. We all knew he was never going to be suspended. But can the Wolves beat a Thunder? Give the Thunder a series. Maybe not beat them, because I don't think that's happening. With their front court, do they have enough on the perimeter with McDaniels, Ant, and Dosunmu to match up at least somewhat favorably with what the Thunder have? Because if not, then let's just root for the Spurs so we get a better series. But if you think the Wolves can play the Thunder to a longer series, I'd love to see Ant in that series for a third consecutive time in the conference finals. And it didn't go well for them last year against the Thunder.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that I saw it last year. And so while it's not the exact same teams, there's not a ton of turnover from these guys. I think they won't get swept, you know? Like, I think they could get either five hard games or six, you know, where maybe one or two of the Thunder wins aren't as, you know, hard for them. But I can't see them beating the Thunder. I can see them giving a valiant effort. Maybe, you know, the second best effort that any team left could give them. But it's just such head and shoulders a difference.
Yeah, last year it was 4-1, and there were several blowouts. Hell, the Wolves beat the Thunder in Game 3 by 42 points. But the only competitive game was either we go back to Oklahoma City tied at 2 or down 3-1. That was a 2-point game, and Shea went for 40. And other than that, there were blowouts throughout.
And I could see it going the same way. Maybe that game flips, but for the most part, it all being blowouts.
Yeah, so if we're looking for any type of drama, I would agree. The Spurs would give them their best shot. I will remind people, the Thunder lost to the Spurs twice, I think consecutively. And then when the Thunder said enough was enough, when everyone was healthy, they blew the Spurs out. Then they played another game where the Thunder played nobody, and the Spurs won. So when the Thunder are taking you seriously, as we saw against the Lakers, they can turn it on pretty quickly and run you out of the gym. Although the Lakers were valiant last night, and Dylan Brooks watched smiling as LeBron gets swept, because he is one of the bigger trolls in the NBA. That music means we're done for the day. Since we're done, what does that mean, Sean?
Big hits all day.
I'm telling you, that should be the name of the defense, but they're going to stick with Swarm. Rich Eisen's up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. We will talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.